The Bible says, to in the Lord put I my trust, how say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. For though the wicked bendeth their bow and make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now I want to preach this morning on that one verse, if the foundation be destroyed. Do you ever think, is it worth being a Christian? I mean, is it worth having people turn away from you and dislike you and don't want to hear what you got to say and hate your way of living and can't stand your presence? You ever stop and think, is it worth it? Amen? Well, you're not the only one that ever felt that way. That the Bible's filled with that stuff. Matter of fact, take your Bible and turn back to Job, and I'll read you what Job said about it in Job chapter 34. And don't lose Psalm, we're not through there. In Job chapter 34, notice verse 9, Job 34:9, the Bible says, For he has said, it profit a man nothing that he should delight himself with God. Now Job didn't actually say this with his mouth, but Job said this by his company. You'll notice up there in verse 5, Job 34:5, here's what he said. For Job has said, I am righteous, and God hath taken away my judgment. Should I lie against my right? My wound is incurable without transgressions. What man is like Job who drinketh up scorning like water? And listen to verse 8. Which goeth in company with the workers of iniquity and walketh with the wicked men. You see, Job was keeping company with somebody he had no business. And sometimes you'll say something by the company you keep. Well, you won't say it with your mouth. And Job is saying this, it profit a man nothing that he should delight himself with God. I mean, do you ever think like that? Job said this. He said, I did right and look what it got me. In other words, he's saying like it don't pay to be good. It don't pay to be right. Now, I'll admit, sometimes it's hard not to think like that. Amen. I think we ought to be honest with our thinking as much as our reason. And sometimes it's hard not to think like right. But all the time, all these things that Job did, he's had nothing. See, I mean, Job was a wealthy man. He had all these possessions, and God took it all. And now Job was down, you know. You know the story. I'm not going to preach Job this morning, but Job is saying, is it worth it? It didn't profit me nothing to try to do right and live for God. Amen? Now, David also thought like this. Look at Psalms 73. Psalm 73. And like I said, it's human nature. Sometimes look around, you can think it's not profitable to live for God. Notice Psalm 73, verse 12. Psalm 73, verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Isn't that what people are doing today? Huh? Folks, let me tell you something. I'll give you an honest confession this morning for myself. Sometimes it's hard for me to imagine why some of these preachers can have such big churches and big crowds. Amen?
Amen.
And they don't stand for nothing. I can't understand why I can't have a big crowd. But I'm not jealous. I'm not upset. I'm not going to quit preaching the Bible whether I have a crowd this big or even less. Amen. I made up my mind years ago that I wasn't going with the crowds. Amen. So I reckon if I'm not going with the crowds are not going to go with me. Amen. But I am going to try to be faithful to God. Now you look around you sometime and you wonder, is it worth it? Is it profitable? You see? I mean, if it wasn't for scriptures like I'm going to read tomorrow, I'd think I was crazy. But notice what David said. He says, behold, are the ungodly who prosper in this world, they increase in riches. And I don't have anything in this world, but I figure like this. Here's my honest confession. If God wants me to have something, He'll give it to me. Amen? And I don't want God to give me nothing that would turn me away from God. If something's going to mess me up with God, I hope God don't let me have it. Said, I don't know that, but God does. Amen? So maybe the condition I'm in is what God knows I can handle. Amen? And David looked around, he saw the ungodly getting rich and having everything. He said, well, now here I am. You know, I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to do right. And I'm down here with nothing. I'm having it rough. I'm getting bawled out and cussed out and fussed at. And nobody likes me. And they got a lot of friends, got everything. I just don't think it's right. That's what he said. All right, look at it. Now, like I said, this may apply to you. You know, I don't know who will hear this. Don't matter. But he said in verse 13, verily have I cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence? Amen? Is it worth it to live clean? Is it worth it to be in this world and live right? Is it worth it not to enjoy this world? Is it worth it to take your TV and throw it out? Is it worth it to dress right? Is it worth it to talk right? Is it worth it to have the right company? Is it worth it not to go with the crowd out there? I mean, look at them. They're having a good time. They got all these things. I'm sitting back here, I'm miserable. I got nothing. I can't hardly make it sometimes. Why don't I go with them and I'll come out a lot better? All right, let's read on. David said, I've cleansed my heart in vain. He's pure. I've done it in vain. What did it get me? Nothing. Amen? All right. Verse 14, for all day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. See that? I catch it every day. It starts in the morning and goes through the night. I don't enjoy none, I catch the devil. Everybody's down me and talks about me and I'm having it rough. All day and all night. Alright, let's read on. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of my children. If I talk against the way they live, they think something wrong with me. They get mad. If I tell them about the way they live, they get mad with me. That's the way my kids do me. I try to tell them what's right, and they think I'm the sorriest dad in the world. Verse 15. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of my children. That's what David thought. See? But he wasn't thinking like God. And he wasn't following God when he said this. You see it? Because look there at the next verse. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. He said, I thought about this and I couldn't handle it. It's too rough. Amen? Until... Here's what cleared it all up. Here's what made it understandable. Here's what makes it all. Until I went unto the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. They said, I realized that all they got here, they're going to hell. I was glad I wasn't like a baby. So this morning, there's one thing for sure. No matter how rough it gets here, we're saved and we're not going to hell. And I'm telling you, it's worth it to live for Jesus. Amen. It's worth it. Now one more place, and I better leave right. I'll get right. I'm about to have a fit here in a minute. Malachi chapter 3. It wasn't like it all through the Bible. Malachi chapter 3. Now this is my introduction. I ain't got my message yet. Just hang in there just for another few minutes. Malachi chapter 3 verse 13. Your words have been strawed against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Now listen to verse 14. Here's what God is condemning them for. You have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit it in that you have kept his ordinance and that you have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? You see? I mean, they said it's vain to serve God. And how we call the proud happy. Yeah, they that work wickedness are set up. They that tempt God are even delivered. You see that? He's saying, look, we call them people that's proud out there. Proud is the original sin. All pride is of the devil. He said, you take that crowd and you set them up. You think they're happy. Amen. You go out here in the world, you know, you see these bunch of dope heads, mop heads, liquor heads, fornicating heads and all. You think they're having a good time. You see? And you go out there and you get involved in that junk and that mess, you know. And it said, they that work wickedness are set up. Amen?
Amen.
Even our congressmen today are out here committing adultery and fornicating these little young gals and drinking liquor and involved in dope. They're set up, see?
Amen.
But then it says, they that tempt God, even people that go so far to tempt God, it seems like they're delivered. Huh? Now folks, let me tell you, that's about where we are today. But I want to remind you over here in Psalm 11, the verse I read you, verse 3, the Bible says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So what's going on today, the condition of this world, are temptations for people to distrust God and disbelieve God. Amen? But the Bible said, notice up there, it says in verse 1 that a righteous soul is delivered from death. Amen? And a righteous soul is determined to stand true to God. Amen? If your soul is righteous this morning, I mean, you are determined to stand for God no matter what. David said in that verse, he said, in the Lord put I my trust, how say ye to my soul? Flee as a bird. See? He's saying, why I say to my soul, run like a skid bird with a bowman already got his arrow drawn back. And that's the way it looks like the righteous are in this world tonight. You're like the bird where the hunter's got his bow already drawn back, ready to turn loose. But notice what he said. I'll trust in the Lord. You see? And the devil is doing everything he can to turn everything right into something wrong. You see? Where it looks like if you're right, the world looks at you, looks down at you and says something wrong with you. Amen? If you're saved today and you live for God and you stand for God and you determine to do right no matter what, the world is going to say, there's something wrong with you.
Amen.
I mean, you ain't got nothing. Look at the condition you're in. See? Look at us. If you're so godly, why you all got all this trouble? Why is all these things on if you're so godly? That's what it did to Job. See?
Amen.
I said, well, okay. So you're right. But you wait till you stand before God and God drops you off in the lake of fire. We'll see who comes out the best.
Amen.
Amen. Now I want to preach this morning. I want to give you a few things here and show you what's going on today. Why things are in the condition they're in. The Bible said, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, you listen to me, and I'm going to say something here, and I'm sure a lot of folks wouldn't agree with what I'm about to say. But the Christians aren't going to affect this world. They're not going to change this world. You're not going to change the government. You're not going to change the society. You're not going to change the conditions. There ain't a thing you can do about it. You see? You say, why? Because it says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Amen? Now, the foundation is destroyed this morning in America. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 25, it said the righteous is an everlasting foundation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, the Bible says, for other foundation lay. See? For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Alright, so what's going on today? The world is trying to lay a foundation and build it on something that man has laid. You see that? And man can't build on the foundation he lays. If man ever builds anything that'll stand, it'll have to be built on the foundation that God laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And man's not going to do that. Amen. They're not going to do it. The foundation that God laid is Jesus Christ. So everything today is falling apart because the foundation is destroyed. Now I'll give you a few of them. Number one, the foundation of government. Amen. This The foundation of our government has fallen. Amen. And folks, listen. America has been one of the most blessed nations in the world. You heard last week by that fellow telling about the communist countries. Amen. This nation is one of the most blessed nations in the world because it was built on the right foundation. Amen. But today that foundation is being destroyed. Amen. It's being destroyed by men and women that don't trust Jesus Christ and don't know Jesus Christ and are against the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. You ever look at our money? Huh? In God we trust. What a lie. Man, what a lie. And most people are walking around right now with a lie in their pocket.
Amen.
In God we trust. You know. Well, that's a bigger lie than goofing back over at that Russian communist saying we want world peace. Amen. Our allegiance to the flag. You ever stop and think about that thing? It says one nation under God. There's two things wrong with that. Both of them. Amen. Now let me tell you something, folks. One nation under God, that leaves me out. I mean, we're a nation with over 60% of it Catholic. The other 30% turning Catholic more and more every day. I'm not under that bunch. I'm under God. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, the God they under is the God of this world, you see. But our government is putting God out of everything. You see?
Amen.
Now let me show you something. The condition of our government is described over in Romans chapter 1. I want to read it to you. I want to show you what's going on in our government today. Turn your Bible to Romans chapter 1. And notice in verse 28. Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. See? You know what that's saying? It's saying they not only don't want God, they don't want to know about God. Amen? The theory of modern government and modern society is today. And I know they don't want to know about God because they teach evolution. You see that? But it's to get God completely out of man. You know what the government wants to do to your children today? Huh? They don't want your children to even think about God.
Right.
Huh?
Amen.
And sometimes I think that's the way mamas and daddies are too. They don't want their kids to think about God. But to get God completely out of man, you see, get him out. Not only get God completely out of man where man don't know God, but to get him so far away from God he don't even think about God. That's what the purpose of modern day religion is, all this stuff going on, you see. But the Bible says over in verse 17, the wrath of God is revealed against them, not that don't acknowledge God like some of the new Bibles say. Now, new Bibles don't say that. They say they did not acknowledge God. But the wrath of God is not aimed at them that don't acknowledge God. The wrath of God is aimed at them that don't want the knowledge of God. They'd like to retain God in their knowledge, you see. The government, their purpose now and what they're doing this morning in trying to control this nation is to turn this nation into total apostate.
Amen. That's right.
That's what they're trying to do. Our allegiance says one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. And there's no liberty and there's no justice.
Amen.
You know how much liberty you got in this nation today? You get on the radio and tell them about the Catholic Church. You tell them about the educational system, what they're doing in this nation, and the Judaistic system of this nation. And see how much liberty you've got.
Amen.
Well, let me tell you something. When a queer has more rights than a Christian, the foundation is destroyed.
Amen.
And destruction is close.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm telling you this morning, the foundation of our government is destroyed. Then there's something else. It's destroying our nation today. And that's the foundation of morals. Moral standards have reached a record low in the last few years. Getting worse by the day. The average high school student today, I said the average now, I didn't say everyone, you listen to me real close. The average high school student today has to look up to see the standards of a dog. Huh? In Fort Myers, I read in the paper last week, July the 8th, there was a nudist bunch that rented a motel and wanted to come over there for the weekend and go on the beach and build sandcastles on the beach. In the Fort Myers newspaper, July the 8th, check it out. Amen. Now let me say something to you. I'm going to give you my personal opinion of that. I'd have more respect for a pregnant sow hog than I would that bunch. Huh? That's the way people live. You see? That's the accepted standard in America, living like animals.
Amen.
You see? The foundation of morals has been destroyed through Hollywood.
Amen.
You take this morning, some people, they live such a low standard, no decent dog would claim kin to them.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
The dope crowd today, and you know they say that crime is on the increase, or almost by the day the percentage of crime increases all the time, and it's the results of dope. You see? I mean, dope is the results of a nation that's turned from God.
Amen, that's right.
Amen? From a government and a society that's turned from God, and a nation that's turned from the Word of God,
amen,
the preserved Word of God. They don't want it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want you to put it out. Keep your mouth shut about it.
Amen.
Amen. In Romans 1:28, when a nation or a person don't want the knowledge of God, I want to show you what God does about it. And then you can see where we are today. So I said, what's going on? I mean, our government's trying to find an answer. Everybody's wanting to know, what can we do? It's getting worse and worse and worse. What's going to happen? Well, I could tell you, but you wouldn't believe it. I'll tell you what's happening in this nation today. Look at Romans 1:28 again with me. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Oh, they don't want God, so here's what God done about it. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You see? You know what reprobate means? It means abandoned to sin. God just give them over and let them do what they wanted to do without no restraint. Huh? Abandoned to sin, abandoned to error, abandoned to apostate. You know the reason? People don't want the knowledge of God. They want sin. Amen? And sin makes you do things that are not normal. Amen? I'll give you a few illustrations. Number one, it's not normal for a man to want a man. It's not normal for a mother to sell her child or destroy our child. It's not normal for a woman to take off her clothes in public. Amen. Normal people don't live like dogs and hogs, folks.
Amen.
They've gone beyond the normal. You know why? They don't want to know God. And God just let them have it.
Amen. Right.
That's what's going on. The foundation of moral has failed in this nation to a record low, and it's getting worse. It's a disgrace today to go into public schools, and they'll teach by pictures and by books, sex education, financed by the federal government. Amen. What a dirty, low-down disgrace to decent, moral people.
Amen.
Foundation of morals is destroyed. And I'm going to give you another one that's destroyed. The foundation is destroyed of the home.
Amen.
The foundation of the home is the foundation of the church. The foundation of the church is the foundation of the nation. But the foundation of the home is fast falling apart.
Amen.
Mamas and daddies are turning away from God. Children are turning away from God. Now, I'm going to say something here. It don't bother me one bit to say this. We had problems with some of our children. Matter of fact, one of our boys ran away here about 2 weeks ago. And I'm going to make a statement a lot of people wouldn't understand. Now, I'm going to tell you why you don't understand it. But I've got 10 children. And I'd rather go to the graveside over one of them's body in that casket than to see their life ruined by sin. Now, somebody said, well, preacher, you, my boy, that's some way for a Christian to talk. You're saying you'd rather see your kids dead. I'm going to tell you why you don't understand that. You see? Some people, and I may be talking to somebody like that this morning, you watched that idiot box so long, and you've seen such a nice picture of sin so long, that the devil has just about seared your conscience.
Amen.
Huh? I'm going to say something here. You listen to me real close. The reason I made that statement is this. Jesus Christ came in this world, and He died for sinners. He died for my sins, and He died for your sins. The dirty, low-down, ungodly things that I've done in my life is the reason He went to the cross. And He saved my soul from hell. And I love Jesus Christ this morning more than I love anything else or anybody else. And you can't love Jesus Christ and not hate sin.
Amen.
And when I see sin ruining and destroying lives, it puts a hatred in me for that sin so strong that I'd do anything to stop it or say anything to stop sin.
Amen.
The average American home this morning, if you were to walk in it, the first thing you'd see would be a big color TV. Many of them have swimming pools. They have dirty pictures. Devil music. Rock and roll music. They have plenty of cursing. Plenty of beer. Plenty of whiskey. Plenty of wine. Most of them have plenty of cigarettes. They got everything but God.
Amen.
That's what's the matter this morning. You know, I was going through this thing in a scripture that come to me that had no significance whatsoever. But that thing hit me, and I want to read it to you. In Genesis 18, turn over there for a minute. I've read this scripture, I bet you, 1,000 times. But I got to reading this thing here, and boy, that thing went through me. Genesis 18:9, it's on page 27 in your Bible. Boy, I said, that sure ain't what it'd be today. You remember when those two angels came to Abraham there before they were going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And notice in verse 9, the Bible says, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? You see that? The angels come in and told Abraham what they were going to do, and they said, where is Sarah, thy wife? Well, imagine if Abraham was here today and said, well, she's off, she ain't got home to work, and she drives a truck, you know. Or she works on a construction job, or she's got a boss that won't let her off before 6 o'clock.
Right.
You listen? You know what Abraham said? said she's in the tent wherever wife ought to be. You listen? Huh? All right, take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Let's deal with some things that are real for a minute and get off this society teaching and the educational system, and let's see some things that God has to say this morning and see what's happened to the foundation. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's see what God's plan is for the home. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Huh? It says, verse 4. Listen to this now, verse 4. It says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Folks, that's what God is telling parents to do.
Amen.
You read that?
Right.
It don't say bring them up in the knowledge of sin and ungodliness. It says bring them up in the nurture. Now, nurture is when you give somebody something that strengthens them, helps them.
Amen?
Amen? And it says, provoke not your children to wrath. Now, there's two ways you can provoke a child. You can overbeat him. I sometimes think that ain't a bad idea, but you can. You know, overbeat a child and make a rebel out of them.
Right.
Or you can love them too much and never correct them and you'll make a criminal out of them.
Amen.
And that's what's the matter with the kids today. They never been trained to do nothing.
Amen.
They never been nurtured in nothing. You know what the average kid is nurtured in? Nothing but garbage off that TV. That's all he knows.
Amen.
The foundation of the home is being destroyed because it's not built on Bible principles. Huh? Folks, listen. The home where God is honored, the Bible is believed, that kind of home hardly exists today.
Yeah.
It's just about extinct. Amen? You know, that's the only commandment in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20, that's brought forth in the New Testament with a promise. Look at that. It says, verse 2, Ephesians 6, 2. It says, honor thy father and mother. Now, we're not talking about a mother and father that tells a kid to go out and get drunk or I'll beat you half to death. The context is a mother and father in the Lord. You see me now? Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's talking about a mother and dad that's right with God. And the children have their respect to that. Now, like I said, I think kids ought to obey their parents. As long as, if they're saved, as long as it doesn't contradict the word of God. See? Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What's the promise of that commandment? Verse 3. That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. It's promised a life of longevity. You know why a lot of these kids are dying today? Getting killed? Huh? Folks, let me tell you something. Most kids today, little kids, 12, 13, 14, are sucking on cigarettes and taking a stroll. If medical science is right, they'll never see 30 years old. Say, why? Why? I don't want to show you something else that's being destroyed today. This is more spiritual sense. But the foundation of the church is just about destroyed. Amen?
Amen.
Now, when I say church, I realize a lot of people are going to say, well, you're talking about me. You're talking about my denomination. I'm not talking about your denomination. I said the church. Amen?
Amen.
What is the church? Now let's see what the Bible says about it. Amen. Amen. Let's take our Bible and go back to Ephesians chapter 1. And what does the Bible say the church is? Most folks don't even know what the church is. They think it's their group.
Right.
Amen. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22. Ephesians 1:22. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. What is the church? Verse 23. Which is his body. Amen. The church is the body of Jesus Christ. Now let me say something to you this morning. The church is not a political hierarchy. The church is not a reformed society. That's what most folks think it is. Well, preacher, you know, I used to do this and I used to do that, but now I joined the church and got baptized and I don't do that no more. That is not what the church, that's a reformed society, that is not the church.
Amen.
Amen. The church is not a social club. The church is not a house of merchandise. The church is not a place of amusement. The church is his body. You listen? Now listen. When Jesus Christ was in the world, he's the head, the church is the body. When the head was in this world, you know what he done? He tried to win the lost. Amen? He believed the word of God. He never condoned formalism or ritualism. He called Gentile heathens dogs. He blasted the ecumenical council of his day. And he had no crown but a crown of thorns. And if that's what the head done, I believe that's what the body ought to be doing.
Amen. That's right.
Your glory ain't here. Your crown ain't here. He didn't get it here, and you ain't going to get it here.
Amen.
Amen. The church is anonymous. The church is self-governing. The church is independent. There's nowhere in the Bible where the church is set up or run by man-made organizations. And what you're seeing today, and you're seeing the foundation of a church being torn down by the devil's crowd, is organized churches today and get them hooked up with something that the devil can use and the devil can run. And that's the spirit of the devil, to rob churches of their God-given freedom. Amen. Once a church becomes a part of a program or a fellowship or a convention, the next step, it ties in with false religions, false movements, compromise, Bible perversions, and then it's nothing but another dead worldly religion. And I'll give you one of the best examples that you'll find anywhere. You may like this, may not, I don't really care. The Southern Baptist Convention is one of the best examples that you'll find anywhere. A church that used to stand for the Word of God, preached the Word of God, had some standards and some belief, is nothing today but a high-class Catholic organization.
Amen.
If I don't like it, don't make no difference whether you do or not. Amen. I care less about it. I mean that too.
Right.
I'll tell you something, folks. I see all this junk today, all this high-class organized religion where everybody thinks there's something and don't know what the Bible says and run around, got two or three verses they quote, don't even know what they mean, don't know how to use them, and think they're good Christians. It highly upsets me.
Amen.
The foundation is collapsed. Amen.
Amen.
The church is not confined to a local assembly. The church is the body of Christ. And let me say something else to you this morning. The church is going to glory.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. The local assembly ain't.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. The local assembly will never see God except in judgment.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to see God in glory and power. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All this ecumenical stuff today has got the real thing so mingled with the false, you can't hardly tell what is and what ain't. Amen. But I'm going to tell you how you can tell. He said, preacher, I don't know who's right. I mean, I see this bunch over here and they say they're right. This bunch says they're right. You say you're right. I don't know who's right. So I'm going to tell you who's right. This one here. This one's right.
Amen.
Now, it tells you how you can tell.
Amen.
And I'm going to make it real simple. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew 13. I'm going to show you how you can tell. You see, folks, the devil don't want you to see the counterfeit. That's all he wants to give you. But God wants to give you something real. Amen? And God's told you how you can tell the real from the counterfeit. See? But if you don't want to know God, you can't know what God wants you to know. Amen?
Amen.
God, if you don't want to know me, I don't want you to know nothing. Alright? Matthew 13. Verse 24. Matthew 13, 24. The Bible says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a good man which sowed good seed in the field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. You see that? Every time a Bible-believing Christian comes up, you know what the devil does? He writes a new Bible and sends another group. And these folks are nice, sweet, godly folk with a good translation. And they're nice and sweet. And since you don't know nothing, you think nice people are Christians.
Amen?
Amen?
Right.
Well, how do you know the difference? Well, let's see. Let's see. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit. Huh? How do you tell the difference? Huh? When the fruit shows up, you can tell what's real and what's counterfeit.
Amen.
Amen. Now folks, listen to me. There ain't no fruit of what God, the seed of God, among these new Bibles.
Amen.
It's all corrupt.
Amen.
David said, I'll trust in the Lord. Ain't nobody trusting in the Lord that discards a King James Bible. You say, you got it put in there. I know what the Bible's a narrow book. Read all that parable. Jesus told you, he tells you who the good seed are, who the tares are, the children of God and the devil. It's all that. So the foundation of the church is being destroyed this morning. Then one more, if I have time to get all this morning. The foundation of Christianity is being destroyed. Amen? Another controversial term, what is a Christian? What is a Christian? You got a lot of them around, you don't believe it, ask them. Now, let me say something about a Christian. First of all, no Christian is born. Christians are made. Amen? A Christian is a disciple of the Word of God. And joining the church don't make you a Christian. And getting baptized don't make you a Christian. Christians are made from the Word of God. Amen? No Christian uses an NIV, an RSV, or ASV, or LB, or NWT, or Good News. All Christians are made from the Bible, which is the King James Bible.
Amen.
Anybody without a King James Bible, never mind what he says, he is not a Christian. No matter what he is not a Christian.
Amen.
You say, preacher, I don't like that. Don't make no difference. I mean, the foundation has been, that's what I'm talking about. See, the devil has destroyed the foundation of real Bible Christianity.
Amen.
Most folks don't know what it is. Because somebody goes to church Sunday morning and dresses good and looks good and talks sweet, you think you found a Christian where inside you might have found a puke pot.
Amen.
The foundation of Christianity is destroyed, folks. Now listen, you can't make concrete without water. And you can't make Christians without the Word of God. Ain't no Christians built on Sunday school literature. They're built on the Word of God. So you get rid of the Word of God, you destroyed the foundation of Christianity. You can't produce none. No church can produce a Bible-believing Christian without a King James Bible. No school can produce a Bible-believing Christian without a King James Bible. Christianity is basically three things. Number one, it's an experience. I mean by that, it's salvation when God does something in you. Amen?
Amen.
Nobody can become a Christian until first God performs